Hello and welcome to the Ski Racing Podcast with me, Ed Drake. Ben and Marcella back again. It must be some sort of record. Thanks, gentlemen, for joining me on the pod. Plenty of racing to get through this weekend. The women were racing Tech over in Kranjskogore, while the men were in Tech on the famous Adelboden racetrack. We're going to start with the women, though, and we're going to start with the GS, the first day of the weekend. And it was pretty disgusting weather, wasn't it? It was absolutely minging. The rain was pouring. The snow actually, to be fair, looked pretty decent considering the conditions were bad. Val Grenier picking up the victory. Thank you very much. Only person playing the prediction stake that picked Grenier this week. Oosh! Feeling pretty smug about that one, if you couldn't already tell. Lara Gutbrami in second. Federica Brignoni in third position. Schifrin down in ninth. And AJ Hurt, who obviously had a cracking day the following day, was in 18th, which was obviously a sign of things to come. Gentlemen, welcome. Ben, Marcel, thank you very much. Ben, you look like you've got something to say about my little intro there, mate. On you go.
No, well done picking Grenier, mate. Good job. No one could tell you're smug at all. That's what we call you, humble Ed.
Hey, mate, it doesn't happen very often. I'm fairly low down the predictions league and probably would have picked Schifrin if I'd had the chance. So I'm going to take that one, full claim that one.
No, you're right.
Other people I know, mate.
There's a lot about the people you know, Marcel.
Go on.
Skiing. You're right, the conditions looked horrid. Kranjskogore is not the easiest racetrack in the world, but when you can't see most of what's going on, I imagine it's even less fun to race down. But fair play to the course crew for keeping it in some kind of condition to be able to race in. But they look like periods where the light just looked really grim and flat, and the snow, we're used to Kranjskogore being absolutely bulletproof. And although you could hear sections were pretty icy, there was quite a lot of ruts and cross ruts making their way in over the two runs. So a really tough weekend. I reckon there's probably some pretty sore legs out there after this weekend.
Marcel?
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes I think, oh, that would be quite nice to ski on. But when it's like a weekend like this, and I've done Kranjskogore in those kind of weekends, I just love lying on my sofa eating a pack of crisps. not envy at all. I thought they at least got two races going, so that was pretty good.
Fair play. Yeah, because what are they at, like six? What did we say before we came on? Round six was that of 11 GSs. They've been absolutely flying. It's about the only.
The GS is really the only discipline that they most, you know, they could do the Sultan where they couldn't do the men's. They did like the Killington ones. They did basically all of them, I think. Mm. It's pretty good going this year. But it was interesting to see Schifrin struggling. So that, you know, is a weekend that doesn't happen too often. And I think...
What do you put it down to? What are your thoughts about that one?
I don't know. Maybe the conditions, you know, it's hard to say. And sometimes you have those weekends. And obviously the next day she straddled as well. So it was just one to forget. And, you know, I guess just write it off the books and then keep going. That's kind of what she will be doing anyway. I bet next time she comes out and she's going to win again. So
yeah, sort of one of those where I doubt she's going to be overanalyzing it. There's plenty of stuff I'm sure will be written about. And, you know, Schifrin's comeback after disappointing weekend is going to be headlines across the ski media. But yeah, but I'm sure it'll be business as usual, like you say. Ben, any different take on the Schifrin woes of the weekend? Well, certainly Saturday. Let's just stick to that for now.
No, I guess not really. I mean, first run seventh wasn't brilliant by her standards, but again, I'm sure we all probably thought, let's see what this second run's got in store. Is she going to do a charge? You know, is she going to put some pressure on? And she just couldn't get to grips with that second run. I think it's one of those ones when you're that bit further back, you know, you've got to put a massive run down if you want to go for wins, which is what she's there for. She doesn't really, you know, fight for sevenths and eights. So she was going for let's lay a big run down. I think she made some mistakes at the top and just never really got into that second run. And it just then just started taking more risks and chances, and it just didn't really pay off. But it's, you know, it's not the end of the world. You know, she's had the double the weekend before, so it's not like she's struggling for form. But like you said, it's one of those weekends. Sometimes you just don't have the feeling on that snow. There was a lot of talk about how grippy the snow was. There was a lot of talk about it being where it had been salted Normally we talk about the snow being quite dead, but a lot of the conversation was around how grippy it was. I think we saw quite a lot of straddles in the slalom and quite a lot of edge catches in the GS. I think Paula Moltzer did it, and someone else had a very similar crash not far apart, and kind of
Oh
ended
yeah,
up
that save. That's
catching
got
edges and
that
spinning
save's got to
out.
be like, save of the, that's certainly save of the season, but that could have gone horribly wrong. That was some skill though, wasn't
Paul had nearly taken out someone with a drill. Yeah, that could have gone horribly.
it?
But I feel like I feel like every year you get at least one of those from Paula in terms of she's quite good at
At
not just laying
nearly
down.
crashing.
Not kind of going in, falling into the crash like some people when they feel themselves going, they just lay down and let it happen. Whereas Paula's probably a bit more of an instinct that they probably try and teach out of you in terms of just let the fall take you. She always tries to stay up, which might
Yeah.
sometimes get you injured. But yeah, she kind of bounced out of that turn, did a 360 on one leg, and was just kind of hurtling down Kranjska Gora backwards on one ski.
Yeah, I thought it was mad.
And
That...
yeah, obviously it was, it's funny to laugh about it because she didn't hit the course worker. But I feel sorry for that person having no idea which way to go to get out of the way. So she looks completely out of control, not knowing whether to go left or right or stay still.
Yeah.
But I've been like, I'm just going to turn into a turtle and just
Just duck your
hunker
head,
down.
curl into a ball. Yeah, no,
So yeah,
after
it was great to see from her. And we feel like we talked quite a lot about Paula this year, and that's just the way she skis. It feels like we're
it's
going to
certainly
say that a lot.
exciting, isn't it? It's certainly exciting. I definitely look. She's certainly somebody you look to. You know, you want to watch ski down. I mean, some people you sort of, oh, have they gone yet? Oh, I won't rewind it, or maybe I will. But Paula Maltzer is definitely somebody you go, hang on a minute, I need to see what she's going to do here, because it is a case of, I almost a bit like it what used to be with Feller before he came the most consistent man on World Cup. sorry, I was getting a bit of a ribbing earlier on again before we came on air about calling Feller the most consistent man in World Cup, which actually Marcel stood by me. We'll get onto that later on. We used to watch Feller through your fingers, didn't you, in terms of what's he going to do this week? How's he going to ski? And I think Maltzer's already there, really, because she's going to be blisteringly quick, as we've seen. Glimpses of, I think, is probably fair actually, to say, but you just never know what you're going to get. It's all or bust. It's a bit Goggia like, isn't it? But just without the higher speeds, which is probably good for Maltzer's body, to be fair. So I would love to see a tiny bit. I'm sure she would as well, and everybody would, a little bit more consistency from her. But again, you start looking for consistency, you take your foot off the gas, and you're finishing, between 6th and 12th or 6th and 5th, you're finishing in the top 15 rather than hitting podiums. I don't know. Marcel, what would you say if you were Maltzer's coach?
I'll just let her do it. Honestly, I think, that instinct of always going full speed is so hard. It's kind of easy to get rid of it because you can, make people very insecure in their skiing, but it's so hard to get it, and if she has kind of a natural flow where she always does that anyway, and I think, the stronger she gets, the more World Cups she will be doing, the more situations she comes in like this, and I think the better and the more consistent she will get. And some talents they come up when they're 16 and they bang in there and just win races. Not so much with her, but she has like that raw speed, and I think if I would be her coach, I would definitely not try and take it away from her. And there's also not really a pressure for her. She does her results, she keeps her number somewhat or her bib somewhat in a decent range. If she would like always crash at every race and wouldn't start in the top 30 anymore, that would be more concerning. I feel like she
I
has a
know, but
couple
don't you think her talents is surely better than her World Cup record, no?
it might be, but the thing is, I feel I do like watching people when they're like quite natural about certain things, and I feel like learning them how to ski a bit safer.
It's
I
like we
don't know.
talked about in the pod last week, didn't we, with the Austrians, about how you feel like the Austrians are trying to mold everybody to ski in a certain
Exactly.
way.
You might be more consistent, but what's the time that you're losing? It could be, maybe 200s per gate. You have 60 gates. That's a lot. That's a long way. So, or even more. I don't know. Like, whatever it might be, but it's still time that you're losing. Playing it a bit more safe. And I just don't think she should be doing it because she's, getting the hang of it. She's also it's also something that you need to learn how to win. And I feel like she's getting closer to that, where she feels more comfortable, with the likes of Lahova and Shiffrin being like, oh shit, I can actually be up there with those guys. And I don't feel like they should be changing anything there.
Anything to add on that, Ben?
No, for a change, I get to say completely agree. I just agree with what Marcel says.
I feel like that might have been the most words we've had out of Marcel over the whole of the 11 episodes previously to this one.
I mean, the Austrian debrief last week was quite a wordy one.
Yeah,
But that was what we that's what we're looking for. And I was a bit gutted for Junior Shire, but I was hoping she could follow up last week. She had
yes.
a solid first run and couldn't hold it together on the second run, which was a bit of a shame. But I think she's still got plenty of races this year to keep kind of pushing home that kind of progress she made the week before. But Petra put in I was going to say a solid performance, but the second run kind of felt like she let it slip a little bit with the first run lead. But I think the fact that both Grenier and Gubrami were in the top kind of few runs speeds both runs
Yeah.
showed that it wasn't a one where you couldn't possibly set the fastest second run going down last. So it was a bit of a shame for her, but I think good that she kind of put in another solid score, because her GS is one you're never quite sure with as well. Sometimes when she'll put a couple runs down, and you'll think she's gonna like really smash GS this year, and then it will fall away again. So it was good to see in bad conditions that she could put in at least a kind of top five level performance. And
Yeah.
that's kind of, I don't really know what she expects from her GS these days. I don't know whether she's going there looking for wins every week, or whether her goal is just keep banging in top fives in GS and try and win all the slaloms, and that's her done. And it's not something I've seen her talk about anyway.
But Grenier back to winning ways, which was really good to see. Like the fact that it's another different winner on the World Cup again this season. Obviously, she won before. And deserving a decent margin, 0.37 over Lara Gut-Bahrami. Again, difficult conditions. We know that she likes it in Kranjska Gora, but on a very difficult hill in difficult conditions. Excellent job, I think.
Oh yeah, she was cracking. And again, the fact that we talked about how hard the conditions were, and when it gets bumpy and rutted, you can sometimes say it's hard for people to win from being in the top few on the first run, and maybe you're expecting someone to come through from the middle of the field and have a flying second run and charge through. But yeah, she set the fastest second run going down fourth from last. So it shows just how well she skied in what was quite flat light and quite rutted conditions. So yeah, re really good. And like you said, she loves the hill, having won there before. And really, really pleased and impressed.
She's a bit like a Paul Lamolt-san as well, which I like. She's always going full speed as well. I feel like I think she's very similar to her and very, an instinctive skier, which is great. But what I want to talk to you about, do you feel like when you watch the ski race, you have to Google some of the people? I feel like it's great to see like so many fresh faces in the women's races, actually.
So I don't
Maybe
feel like
more so in slalom, but
this. I like the way that we're getting a turnover, and especially some new athletes, and more so women, I guess. We're getting more different names popping in and out, whereas the men's side of things, it tends to be sort of, I don't know, the 25 of the same names and then five different ones. But yeah, the women's side of things, especially like the next day with the Germaine, the Latvian.
yeah, I was like, who the hell is this?
I know it was
Yeah,
wicked.
a French girl as well. What's her name? Paul, I think.
Ponyo.
Ponyo. Yeah, I was like, where's she coming from? Which is great. I love that. I think
France.
it's fun.
It's a new Tessa Worley. Watch out. Ben's going to pick her every
Yeah,
week.
exactly.
And you'll know who she is.
She's born 2002, and that Latvian girl is born 2003, and then you have Lara Kultori 2006. So you're getting to see
Yeah,
people
Emma
now.
Eicher as well. You've got load of new faces and talent coming through that are going to be pushing.
Which
But
is awesome.
also at the same time, I haven't actually seen a stat, and I'm sure the stat man is going to do this for next week. But surely I think the average age of a World Cup female has got to be higher than ever. in terms of race that are still racing on the World Cup. Do you remember a few years ago? I think we might have already briefly touched on it. You know, the women used to get sort of 27, 28 and hang up their boots. And we're seeing a lot more women doing what you see more often on the men's side. You know, we're not quite seeing the 37, 38, 39-year-olds like we do on the men's side, but we're certainly seeing women into the 30s, and which I don't think we've really seen too much of before, which is wicked.
I'm just shivering skis because she's 38. She had like 400
World Cup victories.
Really ridiculous. But yeah, I agree that it does feel like there are more female athletes staying on longer and staying healthier, and you know, some athletes we do kind of unfortunately say are constantly getting injured and always worried about how their career's going. But just I think the way people understand how to take care of their bodies in general now in comparison to, you know, 15, 20 years ago, I think that a lot of athletes are going on a lot longer. And yeah, it is good to see. When you think of, you know, even the likes of Brignone, she's been around a while. Goop Rami's been around a while. And they're looking, you know, great, Nick. Obviously, it's up to them when they're not feeling the enjoyment of it anymore, but certainly their talent level would suggest they're still capable of getting podiums and wins in World Cups for the foreseeable.
Very true. Marcel, anything to add on that before we switch to
Slalom? Where do I find people who can give me tips about health?
Yeah, I think it's you're long
Instagram,
gone.
Instagram, mate.
You're long gone. Second day was pretty decent as well, unlike the weather. Another tricky day with the weather conditions, but we had a great race. It was a day dominated, probably right words, from Petra Vlahova. She won by 7-2 over Lena Dürr of Germany. And then AJ Hurt from the United States of America, not the American we thought we were going to get on the podium. Certainly not an American we thought we were going to see inside the top 10, if we're being totally honest. She found herself in third with an absolute blistering second run to find herself on the podium for the first time. And then Camille Rast was fourth. Moltsam was fifth. And then the Latvian that we were talking about, Denifer, I think is how you say it. Jermaine, I'm sure. So a Latvian, if you're listening, hit us up with a voice note. But I think that was exceptional. I think she trains as part of the Apex guys over in Teen. I think there's a satellite one I read somewhere in Italy. So great to see that that new-ish program is already pumping some new athletes onto the World Cup. Michaela Schifrin, DNF. It was her eighth DNF in the history of her World Cup slalom history. So in World Cup slalom, she's only not finished eight.
Are you joking?
No.
I feel like Jakobsen does that in a season.
Yeah.
He does that in a career.
And the same with Clément Noël as well. Thanks very much.
Yeah, Clément Noël, he's back to
hey, we'll do that one in a minute. We'll vent. Yeah, as my smugness of Grenier absolutely disappears with Clément Noël on his backside again. But yeah, it was an amazing run from AJ Hurt. Absolutely smashed that second run. Really looked like skiing. Do you know what? We talked about it with Lena Dürr, with her, like, when she's going to get her first victory, and she'd led a load. She'd been right at the sharp end, leading, podiuming in races, and then not managing to convert. And I think Lena Dürr's first victory was when she was fourth, with sort of nothing to lose, trying to get herself onto the podium. And AJ Hurt, like, I can't remember what she started on that second, or where she was after the first run. Have you got that up?
She started 15th, I think 15th. Somewhere in the middle, which is even more impressive. You don't see people usually coming from the middle forward.
Yeah, exactly. So it's absolutely throwing caution to the wind of just banging it in there. It's wicked.
Usually it's like the people starting, you know, first, second, third, fourth, something like that, or the people who are winning already, or at least are in the top seven or eight. It's really hard, specifically with those conditions, because usually it starts, you know, it starts off nicely and then it deteriorates up until 15. And then it stays pretty much the same up until the end.
Yeah, and then you've got two. You've got a slip at 15. You've got a slip at 7. So you get those extra slips. So you know, if you're outside or inside the first 15 to start, if you're not 16th, if you're like, you know, that next little group, then then you really do get the worst of the conditions. But skiing with no shackles, it was mega. I thought she just looked like she was obviously had loads of confidence and just, you know, just whatever, just went for it.
Good for her. Yes.
Oh, definitely. And you know, I think it's good for that team to have, we talked about Paula loads, but having other people on the team, so everything's not, I mean, everything's always on Shiffrin's shoulders, but for them to feel that they're contributing to that US kind of ski team picture, it's not just, like we talked about for years, that, you know, the likes of Shiffrin and Hirsch are kind of carrying their nation, and other people being able to kind of be on the team and kind of skate under the radar with the underwhelming performances.
Well, look, sorry,
it's good when the likes of
that was gone. Look at what that we think that had the effect on the Austrians. So you're exactly right, Ben.
Exactly. So it's really good to see the likes of kind of AJ Hurt. Obviously, we talked about kind of Breezy Johnson and people on the speed side before. You know, other people in, you know, all disciplines putting in those podium performances, and it'll be, you know, great for her confidence as well as a young racer kind of pushing on. So I think you said where she was, that she was probably in the worst position to have been because she was 16th, so she probably would have been the last person before that slip on the TV break on the second run. So it wasn't like she had a perfect course when she did it as well, which even goes to show again just how well she put that second run down. I thought the slalom was definitely more of a conditions race than the Saturday in terms of watching the last 10 women come down. It did not look like you were going to get a rapid time from any of them. And Vlahova, obviously, with a big lead, put down a solid run and was, I think, seventh fastest on the second run. So for someone that good to only come seventh on the second run shows just how difficult it was for her to kind of hold on. So I think, and her and Dura were the only people really kind of held on to their leads, obviously with AJ Hurt coming third. Everyone else was really struggling to kind of keep pace on that second run. It looked like it cut up quite a bit, and I think there's only really Vlahova and Shiffrin that can set fast runs in kind of damaged courses on the second run, and on the women's field, I think.
Do you think, you know, obviously with Shiffrin's DNF, do you think that the fact that she started bib seven in conditions like that added to sort of her thinking that she had to put a bit more into it? Or is that just, again, reading too much into it? She just had a bad day in the office.
I'm not sure. She didn't look like she was flying, but she also didn't look like she was in any trouble. It just looked like it was just one of those things. Like, you don't normally see her straddle very much. The only time we've really seen her struggle was at that
Beijing Olympics.
China Olympics, yeah, yeah. Where just she just couldn't get to grips with the snow at all. But yeah, I think, to be honest, it's probably just one of those things, like, absolute momentary, like, tiny lapse in calculation of where her ski was going to be. Like you said, only the eighth time it's ever happened, so could be anything.
And then, obviously, salted conditions, you never know what, like how well the salts bound and sort of and affected the snow surface. So I think straddles and slalom, when it's salted, are even higher chance, because you turn the ski in and you don't think it's got, you know, the salt isn't maybe that dense in that section. Then all of a sudden the salt, you know, is a big clump of it that was there. And all of a sudden that's just snapped the ski round. And you're talking millimetres, obviously, anyway, aren't you, Marcel? Good, thank you. I'm glad.
Did all his
quota for the pod already.
No, I totally agree. I think it's quite hard to know when to put the skis, you know, into the snow when it's salty. And it's also, you know, for example, she would always have like very sharp edges. And with salted snow, I personally always took my edges off because...
Yeah, the tip and tail.
Even more than that, I went all across the whole my edges to take it all off, because it was very aggressive otherwise for me. And I don't know, maybe she hadn't had the chance to do much training on the salted piece this year, or she probably didn't, because I mean there was no salted piece so far.
Yeah,
and I think it's hard to potentially also find the right setting. Didn't do it this week, but you know what, she will come back and win the next one, I guess.
Yeah.
400 wins in no time.
Yeah, 400 wins by the time she's 40. Boom.
We talked about Mole Sands. Sorry, what I said?
I said her and Kildare together, they will have 400 wins at some
Oh,
stage.
I should have just carried on talking over
Yeah,
it,
he should
shouldn't
have carried on.
I?
Should have just muted that guy.
We talked about Moltzan's save on Saturday. We probably need to talk about Popovic's not save in the first round of the slalom with
A little catapult.
out of nowhere forward roll 2 gates from home, but a very impressive to kind of dive inside the gate and keep everything the legal side of things. But did you say you thought you'd heard reports that she'd hurt her knee doing it?
Yeah, I think she's got a stretch. I'm just trying to find the article because I very handily didn't bother saving it. I'm pretty. It said that she's got a stretch of her knee ligament, of a cruciate ligament, and it's a bit swollen. But she doesn't. She won't be racing in Zalcensee anyway. I don't think so. A little bit of rest. I think the thing said that she'll be fine. But yeah, she did go for scans and stuff afterwards, and it showed that yeah, she's got a bit of a stretch on the cruciate ligament.
It was a bit of a shame because that.
It did look pretty brutal, to be fair. Like, I mean, when it obviously the slow-mo makes it look even worse, and just watching her come around, all fully loaded onto the skis, like body gone inside and legs just sort of like flung out to the side underneath her.
She's probably get a special Croatian physiotherapy treatment.
Oh yeah.
It's basically next morning getting up 6 a.m. and doing like 50 runs on
Yeah,
something.
with a weight jacket.
You
Kostelic
know,
is there. Kostelic is there.
Get off, it's fine.
Yeah, just stick that 60 kilo weight jacket on. The best thing you could do is go and do a 100 gate slalom.
That is literally what they're doing. That is.
It's funny because it's true. Yeah, it was a bit mad. It was a bit mad. It was, do you know what? I think with those conditions, I think that the racing was really good, really interesting racing, lots of different results. The hill looked as tough and then made more tough by the weather. So I thought, hats off to Gran Segura, look good. I enjoy that. I like the fact that they're there now and Semmering has gone, Maribor and where's the other? It's not Semmering, is it? No, that's Austria, where they used to race in Maribor and
It was
somewhere else.
Maribor, yeah.
Yeah, and
I can't
then
remember the other place.
one race was cancelled and then they went to Gran Segura and now they've just not stopped going, which I think is excellent.
Yeah,
Because
don't you say anything wrong about Austria. I'm sure they're ready to pick up some races if they're there.
yeah, they're like, oh damn you, the Slovenians getting that race. We were ready to go with a three-peat in Flachau next week. Right, so the men were racing over in Adelboden on the famous Königsbergli race piste, and the snow conditions were barely better. It was snow rather than rain, thankfully. So it looked brutal, and the giant slalom was pretty epic. Marco Odermatt just demolishing the field for fun yet again, won by 1.26 over a certain Mr. Alexander Ormoc Kildu, who slapped on some giant slalom skis and thought, you know what, sod it. I'm going to do a little extra skiing this week. I picked up his first ever giant slalom World Cup podium. Zubcic was back on the podium in third, 1.77 away from Odermatt. River Radamus, 1.89 back, good for him in fourth, and then Kristoffersen in fifth. Who wants to kick me off with Adelboden giant slalom?
Well, I
Giant slalom expert myself, obviously.
didn't see anything on TV, so I can't say
Yeah,
anything.
through the mist.
I was like, okay, well, good. It's like that's what usually what some coaches do. They first look at the timing and then be like, oh, that was a good run, or oh, that I had multiple of those coaches, and I know exactly how it is. No, but it's a real shame. You couldn't really see anything. Audemars won again. You know,
Good. Next. Yeah, all right.
I
On to the slalom then, is it?
guess quite comfortable.
Also, I couldn't see anything in that. See you next week.
But you know, I think Kristoffersen is actually really struggling. That's what my takeaway is.
Why is Kristoffersen having a problem?
Oh, actually, I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't look right. Did you not think in the GS specifically, he's very unstable with his upper body. He's kind of narrow with his stance as well. I guess like he gets narrow and then he goes wider. He gets narrow. He doesn't have like when you look at Audemars, he's always the same. You know his stance, barely vary, which is something he has been working on. I would assume a lot because a couple of years back he was still quick, but he's done that. Not anymore. And I feel like with Kristoffersen, like those skis and I've heard the boots are a problem somewhere in an article. but just there, something's just not right. Slalom and giant slalom.
He definitely doesn't look as comfortable as he did last year on his entire setup. Like all year, just looks like he's either trying to force it too much, which never goes particularly well, or he's just not comfortable and he's just trying to work it out on the fly. I think we said it before when he's not looked comfortable. Like you said, he really doesn't look right. He's still coming fifth in World Cup races. It's kind of hilarious on a set of
Well, I think
skis
that
that's
was his
only existed
PB.
for 2 years.
I think that was his PB this season. I think before that it was sixth or seventh. So I think him changing in Adelboden, where he like just swapped all of his equipment. He swapped his skis before.
In Adelboden, that's this one, this weekend.
Sorry, in Altabadir, when he
Oh, okay.
swapped between the runs, he swapped all skis. When you're chucking Hail Marys during World Cups, I think it sort of shows that you're really struggling for setup, and the boot stuff has not been a secret. They started off obviously with a deal with Lang and Rossignol, and they turned around and said very, very late in the summer, according to the articles, no, we don't want to do it with you anymore. Then they went on to a Dal Bello and started changing those and started doing those. And then the CEO of Dal Bello went, hang on a minute, why are we? The CEO of the vocal group went, what are you doing? Why are you helping out, a rival? I know they'll be getting paid, but quit it. And then so now they're developing a Scarpa boot, which is obviously a touring boot,
Is that
fundamentally.
what they're doing?
Yeah, so it's a Scarpa boot is
Who's
the base.
testing those? Bode Miller as well, because I saw some advertisement when I was skiing in Bode Miller on the scarf. He's probably helping Hischer.
Imagine. I mean, those are some brains.
That would be two brains.
So, unsurprisingly, it's not worked. But then, what I don't understand is why you just don't go, all right, let's park the development for now. I've got my boots from last year. I'm just going to use those. We'll
I don't know
take the labels off.
you're
We'll just
allowed
use
to
those.
ski them. Do you think you're? I don't know if you're allowed to ski in them. If they say no, I'm not sure if you can
Yeah,
do
but
it.
don't you remember? Was it Fevre? Who was it that was? No, it wasn't. It was who's the big Swedish dude, slalom skier that's retired, Murra, because he was on a different boot, wasn't he? And he basically just peeled off. They just peeled off the logos, didn't they? They were skiing on a.
Not allowed to do that anymore. So you are not allowed to spray over it.
Oh, so you think that you wouldn't be allowed to ski on a Lang boot that you skied on last year?
I'm not sure
It was
because
still a Van Dier boot, wasn't it? Wasn't it a Lang that was painted Van Dier? It wasn't like it was just a Lang boot, was it?
it's not very nice. They could have let them ski on this. Come on, it's like two races. Just let them crack on with it. But then on the other hand, Timon Haugen, he's doing pretty well so
Yeah.
far.
I
I
mean,
mean,
he's
he's
what
obviously got
base
the
is
boot.
Haugen on? I
You have
think
what?
him and my understanding is those two both in the same size ski boot. So the development that's going on for Hirsch, for Kristoffersen is also happening for Haugen. So
What about
feels like
Charlie? Charlie does have to fit in those boots
Charlie's
anyways.
on Charlie's got
He's in
smaller
leather
feet.
boots. He's in a set of leather boots.
Charlie's still able to buy boots without VAT.
No, it's a weird one. It feels like after last year's success, some of the manufacturers appear to be trying to shut them out, basically, for want of a better way of saying it, which I don't know whether you'd say it's in their right to do or not. You shouldn't necessarily actively help them, but seeing as the ski manufacturer was just effectively getting an old company and rebranding it as a new
Yeah,
one,
but
isn't
that company wasn't exist. That company didn't exist anymore. So I think
it?
that if these issues had happened last year, nobody would be making anything. They'd be thinking, right, wicked. Kristoffersen's been fifth and sixth and seventh all season. That's wicked. Well done us. We've done really well. But the fact is that they picked up podiums last year. All of a sudden, you're going, well, what's going on now? Fifth is not very good, is it? So I think it's difficult, but also I wonder whether the other companies, obviously they take a paycheck to sort of help with the development or allow Van Dier to use a boot, create a boot, and sort of model off the boot, which will obviously have a monetary value to it. But then all of a sudden gone, well, hang on a minute, you're getting to grips with this a bit too quick, and your guys are now, beating our guys, which obviously having an effect on our bottom line as well. So. It's always hard, I think, when you're using a different brand. You know, when you're, it's not like they were, because he wasn't using a Blue Boot last year. He wasn't using a Lang boot last year. So he's using a Van Deer boot, which was a Lang or a Rossignol, but, you know, he was using a fake Van Deer boot, which is obviously probably the issue, because you look at Stokely, that, you know, he uses, Odomat uses a Lang boot, doesn't he? But it's a Lang boot. It's not a Stokely boot that's painted in Stokely colours that was a Lang boot.
I remember it always said Lang on it. It just had like a couple of stickers that's Van Deer on top or not.
I don't know. Then why would they kick off about Kristoffersen, not kick off and Van Deer?
Never know what happened behind the scenes, to be fair. Like there could have been, you know,
If
some
only
issues.
we had a guy in the ski tech industry that could do some digging,
Yeah.
Marcel.
I might actually have to. Might have to.
I was talking about your he was probably talking about your dad, to be fair.
Yeah, Marcel could ask you that the question.
Yeah, the thing is, like, I just look at them and you can buy them. They're Van Deer, or they, well, to be fair, they are called Van Deer boots. Van Deer by Lange. I should have just kept it because it says Lange big on it, just Van Deer
You gonna
collection.
get a pair?
Huh?
You gonna get a pair?
I do really want to. I really do want to have a go on the skis, though.
I actually don't want to have a go on low skis anymore. I'm just.
You're a Kessler man through and through now, aren't you?
Honestly, I have this pair of Kessler skis, and this is no advertisement here. I'm just telling people what it actually is. And though, oh my God, even my soon-to-be wife was like, "Jesus, you are actually getting better than worse by with age." And I was like, "I know. It's like fine wine. I'm flying down the mountains."
She just knows that you've got to help out and pay for a wedding. So I think she's just buttering you up, mate. Oh no, Marcel, you're definitely getting better with age. Now, can we have all of those flowers, please? Mate, come on. Don't get suckered into it. Jesus, come on.
No,
you'll have to send us a video and we'll do some analysis for you.
I might actually send it to the podcast group, like to the podcast Instagram page, and people can judge me. I think that
Yeah.
would be fun.
I think that would be good too.
Definitely
We
ask the
need
internet for positive feedback, Marcel.
we
Trust you'll go
yeah,
great. I'm
social
gonna
media is famed for positive feedback.
gone
With
on
our
a little bit of a tangent here.
what's our podcast? Aren't we semi-professional podcast?
No, you're so
Yeah.
far away from being semi-professional.
Anyway, slalom. On to slalom. The GS was fun. It's now time for slalom. Isn't it? Have you got anything else to add on the GS?
All he said was Odomat went really fast, and that was
All right, no,
Kristoffersen had a
okay.
bad season. That's about it.
Okay, all right. But
No, but
that's very
seriously,
true. At least you're.
there wasn't anything else to say.
Well, Kilder went. Kilder, that was ridiculous. And I wonder if he should. Like, we actually, to be fair, we've talked about that for the last couple of seasons, haven't we?
But
That he should
he
be doing
was
more GSs.
until he tore his ACL, and then he'd stop doing it, and now he's going back in it.
Well, he didn't do the second
That's
Alta
a
Vadia
long
race,
time
did he?
ago, though, right?
Yeah. And he didn't do the second Alta Vadia.
Yeah, but that was because he needed to go home for Christmas. I mean, seriously. He had
Oh,
to be
that's
at
not
home
very
for Christmas.
professional, is it? You're just stopping in races because you hit a stone, skipping races for Christmas.
Maybe he
Just,
was just more fresh after
yeah.
Portland.
We said for a while, there were before his injury, he was good at GS, and we said he could be a really good GS skier. And the last couple of years, we've been saying, why isn't he doing more GSs? And getting annoyed about it. And now he's podiumed in a GS, and hopefully, it's kind of made its way into his brain that actually, you know, yes, it is hard to do three disciplines. And if you're doing the speed disciplines, it's hard work and exhausting and maybe takes its toll on you. But he's got the skill set to ski really well in a lot of the GS hills out there. And it'd be good to see it more. I think, especially with Schwartz going down, we just want as any competition for Odomat at all. Although, you know, Odomat laughs in the face of this competition and beats him by a second and a half, so it doesn't really matter. But it was good to see him doing it and kind of proving to himself that he's a good GS skier. And just if you podium in a World Cup GS, you do have to ask the question of why aren't I doing all of these GSs?
Marcel?
I do have one more comment as well on the giant slalom. Take it with a pinch of salt if you're Austrian or if you like the Austrian ski team. However, underpinning what I said last weekend, in our last podcast, Danish people who have been switching from the Austria ski team were actually the best Austrian in the giant slalom, which I thought was quite interesting.
Was he?
Yeah, he actually was. So Christian Bernard is 14th position, best Austrian 15th.
His second run was really good.
He was very good, very good. Good for him. I think he must be close to, you know, getting into the top 30 now as well, which is fantastic. Brandsteiner and Feller didn't have a good.
Feller went down. Brandsteiner, I've absolutely no idea what was going on with Brandsteiner on that second run.
That was
I was
going to
say, after the first run, it looked like a good day for the Austrians. After the second run, it looked like a slightly less good day.
Yeah.
Feller was not too bad. He was up there in fourth and just had a bit of a mare on the second run.
Yeah, it was interesting. Anyway, my 5 cents, 2 cents.
Well, good comments added. But just, yeah, Kristoffersen needs to try more. Different
harder.
Boots.
He needs to try harder. He needs to,
try harder. No, but Odomat just looked. I mean, we run out of things to say. But even that second run, he was cruising his way down. He barely looked like he was trying. You know, and still manages to get it done. He just looked like he was in third gear from top to bottom, pretty much just cruising. Still managed to.
Even though the weather was rubbish, that Adelboden crowd is hilarious. They with that chance they were doing every time a Swiss person was coming down,
wicked.
And then when he just jumps up onto the barriers in the finish after the first one, like just laughing at how fast he is. And we talked about it before. We want people to be as kind of authentic as they can be, and he just looks like he's enjoying his skiing right now. Just I don't know what it is. He's in a zone that he's been in for, you know, 18 months, 2 years, but it just looks like everything he tries on a pair of GS skis works every time. And he gets to the bottom and he's just like, wow, can't believe that worked. And it's really great to see because, you know, these veins of form like this, you know, unless your name's Michaela Schifrin, tend not to last that long. So yeah. Just keep enjoying it, Odomat. And he just like you said, he gets to the finish, he's got a smile on his face. Like most normally you cross the finish line, you're like, did I win? What time did I get?
Released out.
Oh my God. Yeah. Whereas he's just like, that was really fun.
Yeah. Loved that. On to the slalom. Slalom was pretty decent, wasn't it? That last and final day of racing, Feller taking the victory, went from fifth to first. McGrath taking another second for the second time in 2 years. And then Rashner up from 16th to third with an absolute belter of a second run. Strasser fourth, Rocha in fifth, and Kaliga in sixth. And Sala, who went very well on the first run, found himself down in seventh. Steen Olsen first to DNF. That's got to sting a little bit. How long is that going to take to recover? Do you think it's going to take very long to recover from that? Riding disappointing down in 21st. Radamus, first time ever that anybody's qualified from the last bib into a second run. Finished in 19th. Then Clement Noel DNF yet again. Dissect that, if you will. Marcel, go for it, bud.
No, I thought Feller was skiing really well, specifically at the last part of the slalom. He was, you know, releasing the skis so early compared to others. And that's where he won the race, basically. So good for him. And as you quite rightly said on commentary, he's the most consistent man on the Ski World Cup Tour.
I don't think that's exactly
what
he
always has been, and he always will be.
Wasn't exactly what he said, but he said something about being really consistent. I just laughed. It's not called Crazy Manny for nothing.
But you know what's really nice to see is Atle McGrath back on the podium, specifically where the race. Well, he didn't do it in slalom, but he tore his ACL a couple of years back in Adelboden in the GS. So it's great to see him back. And then Dominik Rushen. I mean, he had an absolute flyer on the second run. He was skiing so well. He really put it together, and it was tough conditions, specifically, you know, anything from the very steep part at the bottom to the finish. And all of the Austrians have done really well down there, or at least those two have. And I'm really happy for him. Glad he made it onto the podium. And then probably my favorite highlight, and I didn't actually see his first run, but coming into top 30 with BIP 70 is pretty impressive at any race. And those conditions were not easy, so it's probably even more impressive on those on that race.
Yeah, it was properly mad, absolutely properly mad. And the other thing that was quite nice was the guys that were the last people in the 30 were joint 29th. So it actually made no difference to them; they just became joint 30th instead of joint 29th. So he didn't bump anybody out of the 30 either. So go on, Ben, what's your take on it, bud?
That was a really fun race as well. So I was just distracted then thinking of how ridiculous Riddle Rodimus's hair and moustache and everything else looks.
Well,
Like every time they show a picture of him, it just looks ridiculous.
he stopped doing the silly. He didn't have silly hair. He's just got a big, healthy tash at the moment.
It's on his photo that the Fizz always put on the screen now. He's got
Oh,
something like blue hair and some other like splotches all over it. But I mean, he's an exciting skier. We've talked about him a bunch of times. Obviously, slalom's clearly not his kind of best discipline. If he's starting 70, but that was, like you said, a monstrous run to get in there and just look like he was having the time of his life. You're right, Marcel, what you were saying about Rashna, that second run was pretty special. I think it was 2 tenths clear of everyone on the second run. I think the next nearest was Loic Maillard, and he'd had an absolute nightmare on the first run. So they had the benefit of a much cleaner course, so showed that he's really up there, and you can only hope that Brashner can build on that. He's one of those guys. He's older than you realize. And he's at his late 20s, isn't he? He's like 29 or so. And he sounds like a new name, but he's not. He's been around a while. But as with a lot of those Austrians, they had a bunch of guys that were taking up all of the World Cup starts for years that were all good racers, but now he's actually getting in there. Oh well, apart from one
one
foot,
person
yeah,
very
apart from one. Sorry, I was thinking of all the others that were actually good racers. But I don't know. I've not seen it enough of Rashna to think, is he going to be there, or is he going to be a bit like Strolz, where he kind of bursts up to the front and then falls away again? His consistency is problem because he's got that speed clearly to be the fastest on a run of World Cup, but can he do it again? Strolz right now appears to just be kind of not happy, but finding a way to just get down and get some
Yeah,
points so that he
he's
doesn't fall
rebuilding,
out the
so
back.
yeah.
Yeah, so he doesn't fall out the back of the 30. But yeah, it was brilliant second run from Rashner, and hopefully we get to see more like that. Felt a bit bad for Strasser. It's normally he's picking up a cowbell of some sort in Adam Boden in recent years. It's a bit strange to see him not actually on the podium.
Yeah, I thought that those guys thoroughly deserved it. Oh, so close for McGrath, though, wasn't it? Was it 200ths that he missed that one out by? And it was all about that last section, like you said, Marcel. He was fella was just epic off that steep and onto the flat. That sort of real short pressure that he puts on right by the gate was just banging those turns out so quick and releasing so early that nobody could live with him through that final split. But it was pretty epic. Rochat, not a name that you normally see towards the front. I thought that was awesome. Kaliga's second, first and second run, to be fair, were epic. And I think he talks about how he likes it there, so he obviously used that for confidence. I just hope that he's able to bounce that into another good result. He's sort of been in the 30 in the 20s for a little while now, so I wonder if he's going to be able to use that. It's over in Wengen obviously next, so a week to wait to try and sort of continue with that, but it'd be great to see him a little bit more of that form more consistently, wouldn't it? A bit more Feller-esque with his consistency.
He did a 100 gate slalom with a weight vest on as trainer as well, and it
He
worked
did
out
that in warm up
perfectly.
before the hill, actually, to be fair. That's how he got down to the start.
You touched on it a bit there with that fella and that steep, but that Adelboden, how they in slalom where you've just got that extra few turns. Obviously in GS that last ridge is only like 2 turns, whereas in slalom you almost have a roll, then a little dip, and then another roll,
Yeah.
and it's so complicated to work out the timing. And obviously, every course is a bit different on there. Just watching the different approaches people take is really fascinating to try and work out what's quick, because you see some people and they look smooth through it, and you're like, oh, someone's finally got it right, but they've taken no risk at all, and
That
then
balance
they're
is
just
it's
miles off. It's
yeah.
like I think I'd love to try, and maybe not now, maybe like 15 years ago, try and ski a slalom down there, not necessarily a World Cup one, just to ski, just to see what that feels like, that like kind of section of
Free
turns,
fall.
just because if like one person in the finish go, woo, you can do it. Don't fall over.
Yeah, I think the balance down there, Marcel, obviously you've done it in GS, the balance of trying to find the risk and trying to ski anywhere remotely close to where you're supposed to be, it's got to be so hard.
I think it's so important. I mean, you had the undergate in slalom as well, But you then dive in that there is an undergate on the second run, and then you have two more gates, and then you dive into the steep. But specifically in giant slalom, you have to keep it really tight on that one, because if you and you could see that, with a couple of racers who were a bit too far onto the left side on the undergate, moving into the roll, like into the steep there, and then you're really struggling on the first gate and the
Well, that
second
was
gate,
Feller, I think.
and then you go into the third gate. Yeah, Feller, exactly. And there's just no coming back from that, specifically on that hill. And usually in 99% of the cases, there is a comeback, but not on that one, because it's just so steep, and you don't have, and this is the funny thing, you don't really have like anything under you, because it's for two gates, it's really that steep. You're not really skiing. You're kind of like just flying, not
Yeah,
flying,
just
but
trying to find the
falling.
floor.
You
No, but yeah.
you're sort of falling.
The transition, you kind of like are in the air, and then you just try and hit it onto your outside ski, get around the corner, and do the same with the next gate. And that's the only thing you can do. And you have to, get the timing right there, be very close to the gates. It's a bit easier in slalom, I feel like, because you have,
Clear space.
less speed coming in there. But it is very, very tricky. But it's also beautiful if you get in there. I mean, you hear the people, the crowd, and what I love about the Swiss crowd, and I said that multiple times before, they are literally cheering for every single person. So, River Adamus, he would have had the same cheers as number one. Probably just a bit more pissed, but other than that, like
Yeah,
every.
no, it's pretty epic. Just quickly before we move on, because we've obviously babbled on this one as long, pretty long as well already. Two DNFs. First run DNF from Clément Noël, another DNF. Again, I think I said it in comms, arguably the most talented in the field, just not able to put it into the finish. And then Stine Olsen, how does he come back from leading and then DNFing?
Well, you call it people like the most consistent, the most talented, the quickest, mate. You're just be careful
Just,
with
I'm just
those
bigging him up. I'm bigging him up.
throwing around labels for everyone.
Everybody, most people picked him in the pod for victory. And in the poll that Eurosport did to see who's going to walk away with the globe, Clément Noël was favourite again. So screw
These
you.
are idiots.
And they clearly.
Clearly not enough people listen to me on the podcast saying he has not proved himself yet, which is why I went with Fella, the most consistent racer on the tour. Okay, brought it all the way back round for you.
Yeah, thank you.
No, that what I thought that was. I did say to you earlier, I thought those six gates, he was absolutely flying. He looked like he was on. He looked like he really wanted it, and he looked like he had all the confidence of a person who'd had a good race the week before, but just obviously a bit too much confidence. And just couldn't hold on, but he needs to find something, because
Yeah,
it can't just be.
don't take it out of him. Leave it. Like
Oh yeah,
perform.
so yeah, that's
Leave it.
Marcel's theme from the last 2 weeks of just let him go. But it's going to start costing him at some point. He's like, if he starts to drop away from that top seed, because if you're only getting a podium one in every four races, that's not going to get you enough points if other people are being more consistent than you. He's not going to be able to hold on to that seed, and will start dropping out. And then the fast runs are going to be even less often, because he's rarely on a clean track. I'm not saying he should necessarily change something. They just need to work out what works for him, and make sure they're doing that more consistently. Because a couple of years ago, he was way more consistent. Something's happened in the last 18 months that's made him so much more hit or miss than he has been now.
Anything of note to add, Marcel?
No.
No.
Stine Olsen, I'm
Stine
not too
Olsen.
worried about. Like he, it was, it was, it was a, it wasn't a great DNF to have when you're winning. It kind of didn't really, his second run didn't really amount to anything, which made it a bit frustrating. Like if his first run, you can just kind of brush it off and be like, his first run, these things happen. But yes, on the second run, it was like, that was a bit disappointing. I was hoping we'd see a bit more of him, but he's young. He's absolutely lightning fast. I don't think it'll be a problem for him. Like it was a shame, but for now, we'll give him a,
Give him a
benefit
pass.
of the doubt.
I'll pick
Yeah.
him for Wengen anyway.
You're going to pick him for Wengen. All right, cool. I think he, do you know what? He's It's his first time leading a first run, and it's not gone well. He won't have the same butterflies that he had when he gets into the gate leading for the next time. So, you know, he's what, 22? He'll be fine. But I think it was, you know, it's going to hurt. It's going to really sting. And whether he's able to bounce straight away back, obviously, Marcel, you think he is, but it will remain to be seen. He's young. He's probably pretty Teflon in terms of stuff will just bounce off him. So, yeah. Good. Yeah, I think it's tough, but he'll be okay. Right. On to the next set of races. The men have a jam-packed schedule coming up over in Wengen. They race on Thursday, the 11th. They race the replacement downhill from Beaver Creek. So they race downhill. Friday, they race Super G. Saturday, they race downhill again. And Sunday, they race slalom. Whereas the women are over in Altmark Zaukensee in Austria. And they race Super G Friday, downhill Saturday, Super G Sunday. And then we are also going to pick, whilst we're on here, just so that to remind people, there's going to be a separate predictions entry for this one. It's Flachau on Tuesday the 16th. So, if you're listening to the pod and remember, then you can put your picks in then. Otherwise, just, you know, set your reminders to get your picks in for that one. It's going to be epic few days of racing over there. It's going to be pretty tiring. Marcel, you go first. First pick. Let's try and rattle through these picks. Downhill on Thursday, which will almost certainly be a shortened downhill.
Go. Bryce Bennett.
Not a bad shout.
Are you saying shortened just because they don't want them racing two really long downhills? Or
yeah, they'll do what they did. They'll do what they did in where was it? La Gardena, because they, and also it's the iconic Laborn, isn't it? They won't want to have two iconic Laborhorn winners.
We don't want to have two great races. We'll just have one.
Well, they'll run it from the Super G start, so they'll still do the hunch off and go.
That's when they push out of the start and go straight off the hunch off, right?
Yeah.
Rubbish. Everyone needs that 40 seconds of just nothing happening at the top. It's the best bit.
Big jumps up there.
Big jumps. Well, it doesn't help that the only footage you ever see of that is a helicopter following the person, so it looks incredibly flat from directly above, so you have no idea what that top six is like. Unless you watch the camera run, the only person you ever see do that top section is bib number one, and it's a drone or a helicopter following them down, so that first 40 seconds it's just like, yeah, just all right, cool, sit in your tuck, it'll be great.
Man, these are real men. You know, they are going fast, and for a long time they're going fast.
Don't get me wrong. It'll take me about 7 minutes to do what it takes them to do about 40 seconds. If they stop for a coffee after being in tuck for that long.
Okay, so you're going to go Bryce Bennett. Ben, you are going to go.
If it's the short downhill, I'm going to go Odermatt. I think a sprint downhill might be what works for him.
I'm gonna go Crawford.
All right.
Super G Ben.
We're going out of order. Are we doing no Odermatt for Super G because it's too obvious, or is it just GS we can't pick him?
You can
I shouldn't have asked.
You're last in the predictions league. You can pick whoever you want.
Sweet, I'm getting Odermatt twice.
All right, so you're gonna go double OD. I'm going to go Super G. Ooh, I think that's quite... No, it's not easy. Super G. Who's in the leading the standings apart from Odermatt? Odermatt, Kriechmeier, then Haase Hemmetsberger, Kilder, Crawford, Sarrazin. Kriechmeier.
I go for Kilder.
And then the main event, the main downhill, I'm going to go Kilder main event.
Also.
This is going to be the day, guys. It's going to be the day where Odermatt is going to win his first downhill race.
It will be. You said that every downhill pick.
I promise you that will be it. It will be it.
And then who did you go for it? Huh?
Who did you go for in that second one?
I went Kilder for the Saturday downhill.
Okay.
Ben, did you pick yet?
No, I'm trying to think. I probably was picking Italian.
Cassay was third last year.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Parrish has never done particularly well there, has he?
No.
Has he ever won Vegas? I don't think he's ever won it, has he? Let's go. I'll go Cassie.
You are last in the predictions league, though. You know
Out of everyone playing it. Pretty
that,
much, yeah.
yeah. okay, slalom time. Marcel, who did you said Stig Nielsen?
I go for consistency this time.
So you're not going for Stig Nielsen.
That's how I go for Noel. No, I go for Stig Nielsen. Let's
Ben?
oh, don't go crazy Manny again. Yeah, let's go. I'm gonna ride the hot hand, go crazy Manny. Oh, sorry, consistent Manny as he's down there.
I might go McGrath.
Good shot.
Okay, so right, men's are ticked off. Onto the women over in Altmark Zaukensee, Super G downhill, Super G. So Super G first up in Zaukensee, and I am gonna go first, and I am gonna say
Me,
Brignoni.
me is me, me, me. I go first.
I'm gonna go first, Brignoni.
Go,
Benjamin.
Marcel. I was going to
Okay.
let Marcel go again.
All right, you
Seeing
go.
his whinging.
I go for Goggia.
I'm going to go Gigrami.
Okay. Downhill, I'm gonna let Ben go first.
I'm going to pick Goggia.
And then I'm gonna go Hooter.
And I'm going to go for the first time, Ester Ledecká.
Boah,
Ah, there we go.
he can't help himself.
Come on.
He can't help himself. Okay, Marcel, would you like to go first in the second Super G then?
Yeah, I think Hooter's gonna win the second Super G.
So you're going to go Hooter. Ben?
Another Super G. Let's go Brignoni for the next one.
Just don't know if Gook Brahm is how up for it. Schifrin's going to race. I'm going to go Schifrin. And
Sounds
then
good.
whilst we're here, we're going to do the Flachau slalom. Flachau slalom. I think open picks. Who would like to go first?
Well,
Ben?
no one.
Ben, you go first, mate. Go.
I'm going for Hover. I don't trust shipping anymore.
Marcel?
I go for Schifrin.
Well, that leaves me with Leonard Dur, but I think that's not a bad pick anyway, because it's quite a sort of, was it the Meadows, as fella called it, and Flachau? The Flachau
Just
Meadows?
before he won there, yeah. That was it. Slagged it off, and then it was his first World Cup win.
That's when his consistency started.
It's
Oh, I could do more of this. No steeps is brilliant.
the Flachau Meadows is Lena Dur. That's where she's going to get it done. All
That's
right.
a lot of picks.
Anything to add? It's a lot of picks, isn't it? You wait. You think this is a long podcast? You lot wait until we've got to go through all of this and then talk about a flipping epic program of Kitzbühel. It's going to be like a six-parter.
Let's have a Dave update for Vegan before we dive off. I want to. Let's have
Dave
a.
update.
What are we saying? What's his
I
Wenger
think that
record
was a
like?
very, very tough weekend, and he said, and actually, Marcel, I think you spoke about it earlier. I can't remember who you're talking about. You just sometimes you have those days. You wake up, you can't feel it. Your legs don't feel like they're there. Like your rhythm doesn't feel like it's there from warm up. And he just said that he didn't feel, couldn't feel the ski that well on that day. So in those conditions, I just think. I mean, he's still sitting in second in the standings, which is obviously, sorry, third in the standings, which is obviously sort of second with Marco Schwarz, who's currently in second, who obviously is not doing any more racing. And then after that, it's Haugen, McGrath, Strasser. So it's still absolutely wide open. Yes, they're a little way away from Fella, who is 125 points in front of Dave. But, you know, it's a case of the season as a whole is still very much up for grabs. I doubt Dave's really thinking too much of like overall glory or whatever. I think he'd just want to come away with a solid performance. So I think he's just they will just be forgetting about it and going again, I think.
Yeah, looking at it, he's not had a ton of brilliant results. He was ninth in 2019, but the last couple of years has been kind of like middle of the field.
It
I'm trying
needs
to
to be
find him.
bulletproof for Dave, doesn't it? And if memory serves correctly, it hasn't been great conditions in Vengenslalom for quite a few years. So if
His last three have been 16, 16, and 21. So just You know,
I think a top 10, I think it would be
top 10
good.
would be good. And if a top 10, top 15, it'd be good. It's weird because he's quite normally quite good at the undulating piece, and Wengen's got quite a lot of those roles in it. But like you said, it's been a while since it's been solid, and we know that's something that Dave kind of thrives on. But yeah, hopefully he can have a another good weekend and kind of keep up that early season form.
Anything, Marcel?
If
Nope.
Well, I think no, good words, Ben. I think you're probably right there, mate. We and from a fan's perspective, we just want to see a little bit more like the old Dave, because it definitely didn't look
You talked about Dave like the 2 weeks ago, Dave. Don't call it the
yeah,
old.
that old. Yeah, old.
Yeah,
Two weeks
two
ago,
week
old.
old
Yeah,
Dave.
in the past. Yeah.
Yeah, just not 2 day old Dave. Awesome, nice one. Thanks, gents. And until next time, bye for now.